Hey, so the title of the sermon, which is not in your bulletin, is This Christmas. This Christmas. It reminds me of a song that's kind of a prevalent phrase in the song, This Christmas. But it comes around every year, and it's so easy to not focus on why he was here, why he came. And people have, some people have joyous memories of Christmas, you know, caroling, volunteering, family surrounding them, the memories of Christmas's past cascading around in their mind, and it's a very positive experience that they are recalling. And then there are others who have vitriolic relationships in their families. There's problems, sadness. Their memories are not good. And like the song says, it's the most wonderful time of the year for some, and it's the most depressing time of the year for others. So I don't know where you stand this Christmas, but we as believers are to take a step back, even if we've got positive memories or if we have negative memories, take a step back and look at what the scripture hints at, says is the reason for Christmas. And I say hint at on purpose, and you'll see what I mean when we get to that point. Christmas is to be important to us because the scripture says that his reason for coming is important to us. There's a couple of genealogies. One's in Luke chapter 3, and it's a genealogy that traces backwards all the way to Adam. And it is Mary's genealogy. So if you follow Mary's bloodline, you get back to Adam, and it's the bloodline that connects Jesus to David. But the genealogy that's found in Matthew chapter 1, which we're going to look at today, is a genealogy that runs forward from Abraham to the coming of Jesus, and it's run through, and it's tracing Joseph's bloodline. And so it's kind of a tidy genealogy, the one that's in Matthew chapter 1. It's broken into 14 generations. 14 generations, then an event, 14 generations, then an event, 14. And it's almost too tidy. And when you really look at it, there's names that are missing. And so it's almost as though the Lord wants us to puzzle it out. Why? To think about why. Why does Mary's genealogy in Luke chapter 3 go backwards to all the way to Adam? And why does the genealogy in Matthew chapter 1 begin with Abraham and come forward to Jesus, leaving out Abraham's father, Terah, and all those that came before him? And I think what the answer to that is that he's trying to explain the gospel to us. So remember, in Genesis chapter 12, the Lord comes to Abraham, and he says, through you will all the families of the earth be blessed. And he's hinting at, he's not saying exactly how this is going to happen, but you and I know the rest of the story. He's going to make that happen through the advent of Jesus. So we see the announcement that all the families of the earth will be blessed back in Genesis chapter 12, all the way out to Jesus before he goes back to heaven, having come the first time, looks at the apostles and says, now go to all the families, go to all the nations, and share my gospel. So he's explaining with the genealogy, he's causing you to focus on the beginning of the gospel. That is, I'm going to bless through you all the families of the earth. And then the charge, he's emphasizing the charge that we would go out, the apostles and those of us that followed the apostles, to actually carry out the duty of bringing the precious gospel to the world. And you know, we always look at the gospel, and I am guilty of it, in terms of the benefits. But really the gospel is about the work, the person and work of Christ. And the gospel in a nutshell, which I hope you don't weary of, happens and comes to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. For I delivered to you of first importance that Christ died for our sins in accordance to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive. The person and work of Christ, he came, he lived a perfect life, he was crucified, he rose from the dead. That's the work he did. He died for our sins. Now, as for appropriating it to ourselves, that's another step, but the raw gospel are simply those facts. He came, he lived a perfect life, he was crucified, and he rose from the dead. But let's look at the genealogy to fill out our understanding of why he came and how he came. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram, and Ram the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nahshon, and Nahshon the father of Solomon. They say you shouldn't preach genealogies, by the way, but we don't care, do we? And Solomon the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David the king. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah, and Solomon the father of Rehoboam, and Rehoboam the father of Abijah, and Abijah the father of Asaph, and Asaph the father of Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, and Joram the father of Uzziah, and Uzziah the father of Jotham, and Jotham the father of Ahaz, and Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, and Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, and Manasseh the father of Amos, and Amos the father of Josiah, and Josiah the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. And after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, and Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, and Abiud the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor, and Azor the father of Zadok, and Zadok the father of Akim, and Akim the father of Eliud, and Eliud the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar the father of Mathan, and Mathan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations. So from Abraham to David, 14 generations. And from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. Now you would see that as a disturbance. You would see that as maybe God reneging on his promise. After all, didn't he say to Abraham, through your family, through your seed, all the earth, all the families of the earth will be blessed? Well, he didn't renege on his promise. He didn't back away from his promise, but they were rebellious. He also promised that if you don't follow me in integrity, I will punish you. And in fact, that's what happened. They were sent away into captivity because of their hearts, hard as leather. And from the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations. And so he came for us. He came to minister to us. He came, Jesus, to bring, to fulfill the covenant that God made with Abraham. I'm going to bless all nations through you. And then he gave us the charge, the apostles, and we by extension were given the charge to go ye therefore into all the world and make disciples. But like I said from the outset, there's some of you maybe that are sitting here for whom Christmas has just become this activity. It's one of the few activities that everybody gets involved in. There's festivals, there are different holidays, but Christmas, it seems, even the agnostics get involved. Someone overheard an agnostic asking a store clerk, where are the Christmas cards? Everybody gets involved with Christmas. And so maybe, though, you're here and it's been, and I doubt there's many of you, but maybe it's become, you get into kind of a rut. It's just a hubbub of activity. And you don't know how to slow that down. And it's not really a happy time for you, but something you've got to just get through. But for others of you, as I said, it's a joyous time. All your memories, or the predominance of your memories, are joyful, are celebratory, because families around and things always are bright and gay. I remember my mother went to the first covered mall in America, was the Southdale Mall in Edina, Minnesota. It was constructed about a year or two before the covered mall here in Escanaba, by the way. But it's the first covered mall in the nation. So my mother took her mother shopping, my mother Delois Gilchrist. By the way, her middle name, just a sidebar, she thought her middle name was Helen all of her life. And then she went to get a legal document and found out that the H was for Hortense. She was in her 50s when she found this out. She was not happy. So she took her mother Christmas shopping on Christmas Eve. And so she comes back from the shopping trip and she parks her car at the curb and she feels something hit her shoulder. And she looks over and her mom had passed away. And so every year as a child, my sisters and I would get up and we'd open all these Christmas gifts, like from me to Tom Bell, that were just, they went in debt for Christmas. I don't advise it. And she'd watch us open our gifts and then she'd go in her bedroom and cry for 2-3 hours every Christmas. So for her, Christmas was a sadness. For you and I, we are dealing with, as I said from the outset, we have to step back and say, okay, what does God want us to focus on? He sent his son on purpose to bring salvation. And then he gave the charge to us. We all have been given the ministry of reconciliation. So no matter what your memories are surrounding Christmas time, this is an opportunity for us to pull back and say, okay, what am I now supposed to do? I know there's celebrations and I know there's mixed emotions surrounding this, but why did my Savior come and what does he expect me to be doing now? with that purpose for his coming. And so I started, you know, I used to be a little bit more of a pest. I used to witness to people to the point where they would avoid me like they used to avoid Art. You know, people would run away from Art because they knew he had a stack of tracks in his pocket. And now I've started to just invite people to church. Not that I'm trying to weasel out of evangelizing, but if you ask most people, why do you go to XYZ church? They will say, because somebody invited me. So I've started to, and I've even been hesitant to do that. This is crazy. I'm a pastor. What's wrong with me? But I've been forcing myself to hand out a card and say, hey, you should come to my church. You should come to our church. You'll like the people there. They're nicer than I am, I tell them. And I think it's true. But anyway, it's time for us to calibrate, or recalibrate ourselves, to think about why he came and about the ministry of reconciliation that he gave to us. In Mark 10:45, it says that Jesus came not to be ministered to and to give his life a ransom for many, and not that we can be giving our lives as a ransom for many, but we can certainly come to minister and not to be ministered to. That we can just look around and be praying. We were talking in our class earlier today about prayer. Prayer is really the only place where the power is. So we have people on our lists, maybe they're on our gift list, but we need to pray for the opportunity to share our faith with them. Pray that God would soften their hearts. People are so hard-hearted, they think they've heard it all, and they certainly don't want to hear it from you for an umpteenth time. But however, if we have preceded our conversation with prayer, God is powerful enough to tenderize a heart that's been made hard through repetition and create a moment that you are allowed the opportunity to plant a seed that may germinate and grow into saving faith. So that's what I wish for you this holiday. I know that this is a busy time of the year. Take some time this afternoon, maybe. Say, Father, what can I do? Lord, teach me to be more attentive to those that I know are going into, we predict some of them are going into a Christless eternity. We don't know. We can't read another man's heart. But it's just realistically true that that may be the case. And so let's be prayerful and let's be mindful as we look forward this holiday season. Thank you, Father, for your love. We praise you that you came. We thank you that you caused us to focus on your redemption story, the gospel, by just even the way you started a genealogy at a certain point, announcing the blessing, and then you ended your journey here on life, charging us to participate in the spreading out of that blessing to all the families of the earth. So Lord, as we think of those in our Jerusalem, those who are nearest us that we have access to influence, we pray, Father, that you open the hearts of those people, open the hearts of those that we might invite to church even, but also, Lord, cause someone to open up a conversation. Maybe they're going to share a heartache. Maybe they're going to share a loss. Maybe they're going to share a problem. Help us to take the courage to speak into those situations and to love on the people that you've put in our Jerusalem, put near to us. And we thank you for that in Jesus' wonderful name. You know, just as we hear this chorus playing, let's rise and sing that chorus. Oh come, let us adore him. Oh come, let us adore him. Oh come, let us adore him, Christ.
All the glory, we'll give Him all the glory. Give Him all the glory, Christ the Lord.
You know, earlier this morning, the heater wasn't on, the hot water wasn't working, the pipes were almost frozen. And then we opened up the faucets, and finally you hear the spitting noise, and the hot water started moving, and the heat started coming on. So that means you should come back to the fellowship hall and have a cookie with us. Have a good Sunday.